All right, welcome to this session dedicated to answering four questions on our counseling exam. Question number one, number two, number eight, and number 10. I hope at this point you've been committed to accomplishing the task of getting these exams completed, and I hope that the sessions that you have heard in the past have encouraged you and helped you as you have tried to answer those questions. Remember that there are a couple of things that are very common among those who complete the exam. First is to make good use of your time. I believe your time is precious, and whether or not you're doing this in a one-week format or whether you're doing it in a different one, I want to encourage you to make good use of the time that you have dedicated to this task. I also want to encourage you to have clear and aggressive goals. It can be hard to just fit this into your normal life, especially because normal life is usually full already. And so the task is to set some goals, to be clear on when it is that you would like to accomplish this and to turn it in. And then the third thing is, remember, do not be perfectionistic in your writing. It is so much easier to fix writing that's on a page than it is to start from scratch. If you just write down all the things that you know, then you can go back and reread the question and reread the notes and reread your answer and try to bring those together so that you have a more robust answer the second time. It's so much easier to write everything you know and then move on. Write everything you know and move on. Write everything you know and move on. And that will help you to accomplish your goals. Well, the first question on the counseling exam says, what issues should be covered in an introductory session with a counselee regardless of the counseling issue? And then explain the importance of each issue. It's so important to read the question and to think about what is it they're after. In this case, they say, it doesn't matter why the counselee is coming. Don't worry about that. Just teach me about the philosophy of how to start a counseling case. And then explain to me why it's so important to talk about those things. And so I'm going to have three categories of subjects that I believe we need to deal with in an introductory session, regardless of the concerns that the counselees are bringing into the counseling room. The first one is to explain who you are and how you would plan to serve them. All of our ministries were taught to use the phrase biblical counseling and not words like therapy or professional. Those words tend to lean people towards a certain kind of ministry that's going to be available to them, where biblical counseling certainly has a very different feel to that. And so in our ministry, we ask our counselors to start by explaining who they are personally. For example, I might say, hello, it's really nice to meet you. My name is Rob Green. I have the privilege of serving as the pastor of counseling and seminary ministries, and I've had the joy of serving the Lord and individuals for the last 20 years in the area of biblical counseling. Then we ask them to explain their system of counseling, or our system of counseling. What we do here is biblical counseling. Had you ever heard of that before? Here's what we mean by biblical counseling. It means that the scripture serves as our authority. And so you're not really all that interested in hearing my opinion about something. You're interested in hearing what God has to say about that. And then to explain that we're interested in helping them grow in their relationship to the Lord and to live more consistently with His Word. That's how we start. Well, why would we do that? There are some good legal reasons for doing this. And we want to obey the government in a Romans 13 kind of fashion. We understand that biblical counseling has a level of freedom in it, in part because of a ruling that happened many years ago by the California State Supreme Court that has still not been overturned or revised. And so it gives churches, and especially biblical counseling, a space at the table to help people deal with their struggles. And then we also want to just be clear that having a good consent form and having advertising that matches who we are and being upfront about our intentions really helps us avoid potentially challenging legal issues. But beyond the legal issues, there are moral reasons. You know, Ephesians 4:25 says we are to put aside falsehood and speak truth with one another. And so we want to be honest about who we are. We don't want our counselees coming and experiencing some sort of bait and switch where it seemed like we told them one thing and then gave them something else. We want to be upfront about that. And it doesn't matter whether the person is coming for a marriage problem, or maybe they're coming from a sexual sin problem, or maybe they're struggling with worry or anxiety or depression. That's still an important component of what it means to serve them. Well, a second thing is to explain the expectations that you have for them. And I also often like to begin this part of the conversation by telling them about two commitments that I'm going to make to them. I'll say to them, I'm going to make two promises to you. The first promise is that I am going to listen carefully to what you tell me. And I want you to know that if you don't believe that I've understood you, I want you to call me out. I want you to confront me about that, because I believe it is so important for me to understand where you're coming from. And so I'm making a promise to you that I'm going to do my very best to listen to you and to understand you and to be able to repeat back to you the things that you've told me. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to agree with everything you say, just like there might be some things that you're not going to agree with me about. But what it means is that I've heard you, I've listened, and I can repeat back to you what you've said. And then the second thing that I'm going to promise is that I'm going to do my very best to connect whatever you tell me with the Scripture and to go to places in the Bible that would address the concerns that you're coming with. Now, I'm going to move to, well, what do I expect of them? What is it that I'm hoping to get from them? The first thing is I want them to be honest. Proverbs 18:13 says, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him." So how could I really be expected to provide biblical advice to some question or issue if I'm not told the truth? And so I'm encouraging my counselees. And often when I do this, I say, I have no reason to believe that you're not going to tell me the truth, but I'm asking that you would do that. Because my concern is, if you don't tell me the truth, then you're wasting your time, because I'm not going to be able to give you good answers. And so how is it that this would actually be helpful to you? The second thing I ask is that they would be a learner, or teachable is the way some like to say it. And the idea behind that is, we're not going to be defensive about it. We're here to talk about the struggles and issues that exist in life. And so therefore, we want to address what those issues are. And so I want you to be willing to be a learner in that. Now, that doesn't mean you have to agree with everything I say, but what it means is we have to talk about that so we can look at what the Scripture says and say, this is what God expects at this point. The third thing is that I ask them to dedicate some time. You know, oftentimes people want to solve things right away. And while I appreciate that, I also recognize that in some cases it took a long time to get here. So we're not going to solve in 5 minutes what it took 15 years to create. So I ask for time. And then the fourth thing I ask is that they would be willing to do homework. And the reason why that's so important is we want the session to influence the daily life of our counselee. So I have accomplished two things at this point. I've said we want to explain who we are and how we plan to serve them. And then we're going to explain our expectations to them. Then the third thing that relates to every single counseling situation is the issues tied to the key elements. The key elements. Go back to your track one, or foundations, or fundamentals, and go back to the key elements. They're called key because they apply no matter what. So my encouragement on this question is that you would list all six key elements, that you would give a definition, and then you would provide an explanation for why that is so important. Why is it important for each one of these issues? That's what the question was asking. The first one, we want to explain who we are and how we plan to serve them, because that's the right thing to do. It's the moral thing to do. And also, it helps legally. The second one is that we wanted to explain our expectations so they know what they're coming to receive. It's not as if they just get one piece and then, oh, by the way, here's another thing. And oh, by the way, here's another thing. We're being upfront and honest about what we expect so that It helps them know whether they want it. And then it